Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. This evening, we talk about how we each, in our own way, make decisions that we are not going to become upset when our partner or our teenagers or our aging parents say something that we have made up our minds that we are not going to react to. My guest this evening is Christina Steinorth, author of Cue Cards for Life, who is a licensed psychotherapist and board-certified diplomat in professional counseling, a much-sought-after relationship expert who has been featured in USA Today and the Wall Street Journal. Christina Steinorth says that very often little missteps in our everyday interaction with others can cause and add up to big relationship problems over time. Although most of us have the communication skills that we need to fix our relationships, we become so caught up in the moment that we go into autopilot and say things we might regret. The results? We run into difficulty with our relationships, our partners, our kids, our parents, co-workers, and friends. I know I've been in that situation many times, and it's a pleasure to welcome this evening Christina Steinorth, who is the author of Cue Cards for Life, and she's going to help us to create better relationships by using a simple tool like a cue card to help us remember what we promised we wouldn't forget. Welcome to WDIY, Christina Steinorth.
Thank you for having me here tonight.
This is a very, very interesting book. For a moment when I saw, cue cards, I said, I didn't know how this was going to be helpful. Was I going to carry around an index card with me all the time, or how was I going to help? And as I read this book, I found it to be fascinating. Tell me, how did you come up with the concept of cue cards for life?
Well, Eleanor, I've been in private practice for many, many years. And what I noticed that over the years, that there seemed to be certain themes that would bring people to come sit on my therapy couch. And I also know that many people don't go to therapy for a variety of reasons. It's either too expensive, or perhaps they feel uncomfortable telling a stranger their issues, which I certainly understand. Therapy is not for everybody, as you know. So I thought, wow, wouldn't it be fantastic if I could put together a little guide for the more common relationship issues that all of us will most likely face at one point or another in our life, so that the people who don't go to therapy or who may be reluctant to go to therapy, or even for people who do go to therapy but need a quick refresher course, if they could kind of grab this book, maybe keep it in their purse, keep it in their car, keep it at their desk, just turn to the relationship issue that they're having in the chapter and get the cue cards they need, and they'd be good to go.
I think that sounds like a very interesting resolution to a problem. Very often, people will sit in the therapy room and say, "Oh yes, I get it," and when they walk out, they forget it. So
exactly, and cue cards can act as a very simple reminder and help get your relationship back on track. And I designed the book that you will never have to read it from cover to cover. Because, let's face it, how many people have time to sit and read a book from cover to cover these days? And, there's not a lot of psychobabble. It's just very, very clear-cut, very thoughtful advice to help get your relationship back to where it needs to be.
Well, now, your book is focused on several areas. There's a better relationship with the parents and teens, relating to aging parents, the workplace. One of the things that is very difficult today, I know I raised four children, and I'm glad they're all grown up and on their own. God bless you all. But I think raising children today is a very difficult task, particularly teenagers. And you have some interesting observations that you make about raising teens. Help us share what you have discovered with raising teens in this difficult age.
Well, when we're raising teens, what happens during this time period is our teens are trying to establish independence. So they may kind of back up from us. They may not be as open to what our conversations would be. And I think that one of the key elements when raising teens is to try to keep those lines of communication open.
It's very hard. I'm sorry to interrupt, Christina, but it's very hard when they're rolling their eyes while you're talking to them.
Oh, well, of course it's very hard. But I think that when we ease into it that way, when we, as children are reaching their teen years, if we have a good relationship, it will be less inclined to have problems as they get into their teen years. And one of the suggestions I make to people is if you can have family dinners, start it when they're kids, and you keep on doing it. Of course, they're going to be reluctant as they get older, but it becomes kind of a ritualized habit. So, you know, 3-4 nights a week, we have dinner with our families. And why I like this is because it keeps those lines of communication open in a way that's very casual. You know, you're not asking your teen for a report. You know, tell me what your day is. Are you in trouble? You can kind of casually observe, and they don't ever feel like they're under the magnifying glass that way. And I think it helps. It helps open those communication lines and keep them open.
And you have another cue card, which is to make sure that when you're around the dinner table or any other time during the day, you say, praise your teen for the things you see them doing well.
I think it's so important because I think that, you know, all parents, they're stressed. You know, they're stressed with household chores, stressed with work, and, of course, the stress that comes with raising teens. So a lot of times what I see with the families that I work with is they'll get into this pattern of they're only telling their teens what's wrong. And if teens are like anybody else, if somebody's always telling you what's wrong instead of what's right, you eventually just kind of tune them out. It becomes negative. It becomes kind of white noise to us. It's like, oh, God, what's the complaint today? So this is why I tell parents, if you see your teens doing things right, when you see your teens doing things that you like, make comment of the positive. Positive reinforcement always works better than negative reinforcement, and you'll encourage those things you like in your teens. It's the best thing you can do.
Let's say, for example, and, you know, we're not talking about, huge things that they do well. It's you're talking about little things. For example, if one of the requests that you've had, and I know every parent has this, is that you take care of your room. And you may come in, a parent may come in and see that while the teen has made the bed, maybe the laundry's still on the floor. And they forget the fact that they made the bed, which is a road to improvement. How do you suggest that they react to that?
Well, making the bed is a huge road to improvement. Say you can, when you see your teen in the morning, say, look, I really appreciate you making your bed today. You know, that I don't have to remind you to do that. It just makes me feel better, so I'm not always coming to you with a complaint. You can be honest and tell your teen, I don't always want to come to you with a complaint. And they'll get it. Your teens aren't stupid. You know, they don't want to hear your complaints either. So, again, you know, you're encouraging, you did a good job making your bed. And I wouldn't address the laundry on the floor. Let the praise stand on its own. Maybe in a couple days, if you still see the laundry on the floor, you could make just a passive mention of it. You know, you did so good making your bed. Boy, it sure would be nice if you could pick up the laundry, too.
Well, that's
not in an accusatory way, but just very politely, very gently.
You know, that's a very interesting way of putting it, because most times parents come in and meaning well, but you know, everybody's under their own sense of deadline, their own sense of frustration, and many parents are working trying to get out, and when they come in and they see the teen's bedroom is not taken care of the way they want to, they immediately the bed is made, and the reaction is yes, but you didn't do the laundry on the floor. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. So the whole thing gets very involved, and the praise gets lost. And what you're saying, Christina, is that we need to make an emphasis upon the little things and gradually approach the rest of the issue. Is that accurate?
That is completely accurate. You know, it's a matter of picking your battles. And when you pick your battles, pick them wisely. And again, you don't want that praise to get lost, and you can work the laundry in. Do it step by step. Remember, Rome wasn't built in a day, and you're shaping behavior rather than trying to correct it all at once. Because when you follow praise with a but, and then you give your laundry list of complaints, all that praise will get lost, and you don't want that to happen.
And how about finding little things to praise during the day? If they remembered to take out the garbage without being asked, if they did little things. What about those little things, Christina Steinorth?
Make comment about that. Say, I really appreciate you taking the trash out. If you see that, you know, when you're out and about with your teen, if they actually open the door for somebody, make comment of it and say, you know, that was really thoughtful of you to open the door for that older lady. What you want to do is always make comment of the positive things you say, because that will shape their behavior. And I think that a lot of times parents don't do that, and then teens think that the little things that they do go unnoticed, and they say, well, okay, Mom and Dad aren't noticing, so why do it?
So if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. This is your host, Eleanor Barbro, and this evening we're talking with Christina Steinorth, who is the author of Cue Cards for Life. Christina is a licensed psychotherapist and board-certified diplomat in professional counseling, and she is a much-sought-after relationship expert and has been featured in USA Today as well as the Wall Street Journal. And we're talking about how to improve our relationships with teenagers right now, and you're talking about noticing the good things, praise for the little things, and sitting around for dinner, having a dinner as often as possible, 3 or 4 times a week. What about knowing your teen's friends? Is that a problem?
I think when possible, parents should always know their teen's friends. I'm not saying know them as, you know, you go out to dinner with their parents or things like that, but I think that you should be aware of who your teens are hanging out with, because, you know, being a teen, it's a very influential age, and you don't want them around people who are going to expose them to things that, you know, you don't want in their lives. So I encourage you, you know, when you have your teen around, if your teen feels comfortable being at home and they want to bring their friends over, welcome it. It will tell you so much about who your teen is hanging out with, how they're doing, and where they're at in their lives.
And you have a cue card for preventing problems with teens, and you have an encouragement for fathers to participate in their teenagers' activities. That was an interesting thing for me. That was a focus on fathers' participation.
I think fathers can have an enormous impact on their teens and on their children in general. I think that I know this for a fact, there are studies that show that when fathers are involved in their children's schooling, the children tend to do better. They take it seriously. They tend to have better social networks. Because what they're seeing is usually fathers take a backseat role. You know, they let the moms handle everything, the day-to-day issues. And fathers will come in and say, look, I think that education is important, but their actions aren't backing what they're saying. And teens see that. Children see that. So when fathers can be involved, I think that they absolutely should, because then teens and children see that their parents actually mean it. And the ways that fathers can get involved, you don't need to be involved in the day-to-day, but you should be involved, like go to the PTA meetings, go to parent-teacher conferences. You can maybe take your teen's class to your work one day and show them around like that. You can take charge of the school newsletter, maybe their website. These little things show that you're interested in your teen's life, and that interest goes a very, very long way.
Well, you know, this has been a very interesting. We've been talking about teens, this section of the program. And in the second half of the program, Christina Steinorth, I'd like to focus on the cue cards that you've made for dealing with those of us who are dealing with aging parents and how to talk with them about issues when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
As our way of saying thank you for each donation that comes in during our spring drive, we'll be planting a tree. Once again, we've partnered with Pennsylvania's DCNR's Tree Vitalize program and with Lehigh County Parks to plant trees along the Jordan Creek in the Trexler Nature Preserve in Schnecksville. The location is a beautiful spot for outdoor recreation, including hiking, biking, fishing, and birdwatching. WDIY's tree grove will be planted in the fall. The seedlings will be buffer plantings along the creek and will help to reduce erosion and improve water quality. Please become a member today and help us reach our goal of planting 500 trees at the Nature Preserve. Call 610-758-8810 or make a secure pledge at wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. This evening, I'm talking with Christina Steinorth, who is the author of a very interesting book called Cue Cards for Life. And she is a licensed psychotherapist and board-certified diplomat in professional counseling. And she's written this most interesting book called Cue Cards for Life, where there are little tidbits that you can copy down and perhaps post on your mirror or just a copy or keep a copy in your pocket so that if, for example, as we were talking in the first part of the program, we were talking about dealing with your teenager, she has little notes here. If you're the father of a teen, stay involved in their education. Encourage your teen to balance school with extracurricular activities. And as we were talking about in the first part of the program, focus on important issues with your teen and let the small stuff slide and find nice things to say throughout the day. Christina Steinorth, this is a very interesting and very helpful book for those of us on the go with so many things to do. It's hard to remember what we want to remember. Yes, it's hard to remember, you know, that we want to be, say, a nice thing to our teenager, that we want to react in an appropriate way. And these are little reminders that we can just pull out of our pocket and help us.
And that's exactly how I designed it. And I would, when I work with people in therapy, the whole cue card concept was, okay, I want you to write this down. And I would give just a short cue card. And they would write it down on a scrap piece of paper, and they just keep it in their pocket or purse. And I would ask them, when you start stumbling over this issue, I just want you to look at it. And it'll help remind you what you're supposed to do. And they would do that, and then, you know, it becomes second nature. And if you have, you know, if you have a refrigerator, you can tape it on your refrigerator, you know, keep it in the glove compartment of your car, just wherever you need a little reminder, this is what I'm supposed to do to get my relationship back on track. And soon it will become second nature.
Do you have, we're going to be talking about aging parents in just a moment, but you mentioned getting your relationships back on track. Have you noticed that there are some particular tips that are very, very important for couples in relationships? Forgiving each other for inappropriate behavior or something of that sort?
Absolutely. I think that one of the biggest issues that's going on with couples today is they are losing their connection to each other because they're not spending time together. So you need to make time for your relationship. I don't care how busy you are, your relationship to your partner is your primary relationship. And if you want to keep it alive, you have to do things together. And I don't think that the things need to be expensive. I don't think they need to be complicated. I think they can be very simple. But what I would like couples to do, all couples to do, is to do them at least once a day. It can be going for a walk after dinner. It can be going for a little bike ride. I want you to touch base 10, 15 minutes every day. You can do it when you awake in the morning, before you go to bed at night. Put your cell phones away. Turn off the TV. Just you two, just touch base and have light conversation. It will help keep your marriage happy and help your marriage survive over the years. Because if you don't do that, it's very easy to get distracted with work, with kids, with house.
Now, do you have a cue card for that, Christina?
I do. Make time for your relationship. And I also have another one, which is my favorite cue card out of the whole book. It's act loving even when you don't feel like it. And the reason for this is because people will always, always remember how you make them feel. Now, I completely understand that it's not realistic for people to feel loving 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But if you just do little things, you know, if you're not feeling loving, you can just go rub your partner's shoulders. You can kind of hold their hand when they walk. You know, these types of things go such a long way in keeping your love relationship intact and your love alive.
How would you deal with this issue? A couple decides that when they come home at the end of the day, they're going to look for their partner and make contact and say hello and just just to be able to say, not necessarily talk, but just to make contact. And they decide that this is a very good idea. And husband comes home at the end of the day. He's had a very bad day, but he has made up his mind that he's going to find his wife, and he can't find her. He can't find her in the house. He looks all over for her. And she's outside in the yard, taking a little rest. And he's not able to find her. He becomes very annoyed, annoyed with himself, annoyed with her, because he's made every effort. What kind of a cue card would you arrange for that so that doesn't happen?
Well, what I would say is when the wife discovers that he's upset, I think that she needs to come up to him and she needs to ask him, honey, what can I do to make it right between us? You know, a lot of times when our spouse, when our partner is upset with us, one of the things we can do if we're on the receiving end of the upset partner is to ask that, rather than be defensive and say, well, I didn't know you were coming home. I didn't know you were going to look for me. One of the best things we can do is say, hey, I see that you're upset with me. What can I do to make it right? It's very hard to stay angry with somebody when they're asking you, look, I want to get back in your good graces, and I want to work this out with you. Help me do that. It's very hard to stay angry with somebody like that.
And how about a cue card that says, honey, I'm in the backyard in case you come home early?
Leave a little note.
Leave a little note, exactly. Exactly. Leave a little note so that no matter when your partner returns home, he knows where to find you. Well, these cue cards are really very helpful. There's another issue that we're dealing with, many of us, and that is dealing with our aging parents. And there are many issues that come up, and we are not always so sure about how to deal with them. And you have a wonderful chapter on cue cards for dealing with aging parents. Tell me, how did you get involved in this particular chapter? And there's many, many good many good hints and also many resources that are at the end of the book for people who want to know about resources in the area for dealing with aging parents. How did you come up with this as a chapter that was of interest?
Well, my master's thesis was, what do aging parents expect of their adult children? And that's what led me on the road to, okay, what do aging parents expect of their adult children? And it was interesting, Eleanor. What I found, I did an interview-style type of thesis where I didn't lead in the questions. You know, I didn't give them things to choose from. I would ask people, give me 10 things that you're looking for. And what I was astounded to find was the number one thing that over 90% of the people responded with was, I just want to hear from my adult kids. And I thought, wow, that's so simple. It's like, I don't want to move in with my adult children. I just want to hear from them. And if we could just give them a phone call once, twice a week, if we could just stop by, that connection serves as a lifeline to them. So that's how this came to be. And plus, I have the majority of my experience in my undergrad years was working in hospitals with seniors and their families. So this is how this came to be.
Well, that sounds like that was the one particular thought, making contact, being in contact with your adult children. And what else?
They love that because, you know, a lot of times adult children get so busy in their lives that, you know, they forget to call. And then, of course, when they forget to call, they think, oh, my God, I haven't called mom and dad for like a week. I feel uncomfortable, so I'm not going to call them. So it becomes this snowball effect where they don't call and the parents are wondering what happened, what's happening. Just pick up the phone and call. Your parents will be so happy to hear from you.
Now, what about most children who have aging parents are concerned about a plan of care that works for both the aging parent and for the adult children? How do you go about helping them develop that with your cue cards?
The most important thing you can do in developing a plan of care for your aging parents is to do it before there's a need. And I know it's uncomfortable to talk about, but you give yourself the gift of time to work things out, because when we leave things to the last minute, when there is a crisis, when there is a hospitalization, or when we have to intervene in some other type of care, nobody is thinking clearly because they're stressed and they need to make decisions that, you know, may not be the best decision. If they would have had the plan in place, they probably would have been able to execute it much, much better. Emotions run high when people get sick, when there's an accident, when there's an illness. So give yourself the gift of time and do it early. Sit down with your parents and just open it up. What would you like to do in the event you need care? so many people are surprised to hear that their parents don't want to move in with them. They either don't want to be a burden to them, or perhaps they don't like their spouse, or they just would rather live in an assisted living facility where they feel like they have more independence.
Well, I know my father didn't want any of those. He wanted to stay at home in his apartment in New York City, and that's where he wanted to remain. He didn't want to go into any nursing facility at all. He wanted to remain independent all his life. And that was made very clear.
That's how my parents were. I just downsized them from their house to a condo. They're all, we don't want to live in an assisted living facility. But, you know, now they're moved into a condo that's one level, doesn't have uneven surfaces, so it minimizes the risk of fall. The building is very safe. So, you know, I think it's important that we do let our parents have as much independence as possible and not come in and take charge of their life. I think that they've already lost so much independence. Once we get into that thing with them, it's like, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. I think they start resisting our suggestions.
So that we need to have these conversations early before any kind of accident or calamity so that we know what our parents' wishes are. And if they want to remain independent, to try to help them remain independent as long as they can. And I know I certainly did that with my dad, and he was very specific about that. And also, what else do we need to know? What if they can't drive and they want to drive?
This is a huge one, and I just worked with a family whose father, aging father, had macular degeneration in one eye, Eleanor. His license came up for renewal. He went to the DMV 2 weeks before that test was due, and he memorized all the eye charts so he could pass his driving exam. And it's just very common what people will go through to maintain that independence.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Christina Steinroth, author of Cue Cards for Life, for helping us to take charge of our lives by giving us the tools to master good relationships, listening, managing our failings, and being sensitive, and also putting these cue cards around to remind us. And if you don't, and if you want the cue cards, the book is called Cue Cards for Life by Christina Steinroth. And thank you for helping us navigate through the difficult times with our kids and teenagers, and for helping us to negotiate difficult conversations with our aging parents, in-laws, and other loved ones. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.